Jack and Jill here.
Hey.
Welcome to the Jack Jill Show. It's here that we provide entertaining real estate investment advice. I'm Jack Pitella.
I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting again from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about Jill's negotiation approach, one of my favorite topics.
Now,
mostly because it takes the onus off of me.
Well, I gotta ask. I was just thinking about this as I was writing some notes for the show. Which, by the way, this is another one of those that it's fun because you came up with this topic, not me, and I appreciate, you know, I get to share my whatever. But anyway, what I was gonna say was I wasn't sure which direction. I took it as a business direction, but some of the things that I say could be used in all kinds of negotiations, you know, without, you know what I'm trying to say.
I couldn't agree more.
Okay, thank you. So I wanted to make sure whatever you think this show means to you, just use it. You can use it for that.
How about an interview?
I'm going to negotiate.
I'll interview you.
How to get my wife to do X. Okay, sorry.
It's quite the other way around.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Or, oh.
You know what this show should be called?
That's what my wife is doing when she did this, or when she said that. Is that what you mean?
It should be called How Do You Get What You Want?
Ah.
How Jill gets what she wants.
Oh, you know, that's good.
Before we get into the topic, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the jackjill.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Sandra asks, hi, everyone. Is it hard to transition from land to houses? I hear you guys talk about it all the time, but I'm concerned because the dollars are so much higher. Is it difficult? What do I need to know? I love it. This is so good because so many of our members are like, you know what's interesting? I think a lot of our members in our community, they found us knowing they wanted to do something in real estate, period, right? We all know there's money to be made in real estate. We got that out of the way. So, I think we're over that one. I don't have to convince anyone that one. So,
we got that out of the way.
Exactly.
No, no. I can hear people say it. Now, what do you mean you're making
sure,
any,
what?
Can't make
what?
Any money
oh,
in real
no,
estate?
Oh, no. No, that's funny. No.
That cracks me up.
I know. So, anyway, then people, but they get into it. They're like, oh, God, I can't afford this. I can't afford that. You know, yeah, you're, when you talk to someone who's brand new thinking they want to be an investor and they want to invest apartment building and you tell them the best thing you can do is pay cash, they usually don't have enough cash sitting around to go and buy an apartment building.
No one does.
Right? Got it.
I don't care if you're Sam Zell. You don't look at your bank balance and say, well, there's not enough for us to buy. That's a really good deal. Thanks for bringing it over. But we don't have enough money right now.
Right.
No, you find the money.
Right. But back to land. But what I was going to say was, so we have a lot of people in our group that drilled it down and have been flipping land, started out doing land because of the ease of the transactions and cash and everything. And a lot of our folks are, A, ready to move on. They got this all figured out. You know what I mean? And they're ready to do some bigger deals and make more money. And then B, they have the cash, you know? So, but, and I understand Sandra's concern is, all right, maybe I'm staring at $100,000. I started with 10, now I have $100,000. Now I can start making some different decisions because this is the discussions that I have with our members. And so this is a really good question. And
here's a conversation, the synopsis of a conversation I had with on a consulting call today. And it went like this. I joined you guys in September. I bought 14 properties. I've sold 10 of them. I made about, he said, I think I made $4,000 per unit.
Mm-hmm.
So he said a version of what you just said. I made I made $40,000 or $50,000 in a few months.
Right.
And so now he said exactly what you said. Well, I know it works now. We can get that out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
But I sat down in front of Excel and I said, well, what if I made $20,000 on each of these two deals? On each of these 10 deals or 14 deals or whatever his number was. I would have made $250,000 in the last few months.
Exactly.
And so that's a very good question to ask yourself in front of a mirror.
Do I want to
because
make that much money?
Because at $200,000, no, like what if I made more per deal? So at 200 grand,
yeah.
I mean, now you're very seriously considering quitting your job.
Right.
For 40,000, I don't think so.
What do you think, Jack? Is it hard to transition from land to houses?
No, I think that land is a great place to start. I think it's a great place to learn. Cut your teeth on the business. It doesn't cost a lot of money. You've got a great support group here, but I think that houses is a great place to graduate to.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, and I don't necessarily, we're in the distant future, we're going to roll commercial real estate into this too, but houses is a great place to make a really, really good living and really make an institution out of it if you want to.
Yep. One of the things that she asked too is it difficult? And I would almost argue that in some situations, these are easier because most of the house transactions, you're not closing yourself.
Yeah. So there's two or three things that you don't do with a house deal that you do with land deals. Number one, Jill just nailed it. You don't close a deal yourself. You get a title agent to close it. So you don't have to worry about that.
Which is great.
Number two, you don't have to sell the asset once you buy it. Because if you do it according to the way we do it, you find a buyer first. You find the person who's going to renovate it first. Number three, you don't have to have a dollar because the person who's going to renovate it's loaded.
Right.
They're the money. You just find the deal for them. And then they, you know, you depending on how you transact it at the end,
you know what?
They pay for it one way or the other.
Not to give anything away. Not to give too much away from the upcoming SFR program that you're working on right now, Jack. But
it's called House Academy, by the way.
It is. That's one of the things that we're really good at, and that's why we're here. Not only are we experts at finding the deals, let's be honest, we're experts at finding the people to fund the deals.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean,
yeah,
that's
pretty easy.
So that's it. So, you know, people, this is the whole common thing. People go, why are you guys not talking about selling so much? And I always, I try to restate your quote, which is, if you're selling an asset, you know, so far undervalued, you know, if you got an asset for sale that's this much undervalued, do you think it's hard to find a buyer? No, that's the truth. Seriously. It's, but that's it.
Yeah, you can't hide in the basement and keep it a secret.
No.
But it's not. It sells itself pretty easily.
Thank you.
And then finally, what the huge difference between land and houses is there's the availability of data. You know, the whole world's tracking house data, house sales data, everything about it. I mean, there's economists that, you know, with land, not so much. Especially rural land. The people who use data to make economic decisions from the federal government all the way down to us,
right?
They don't care about land as much as they care about houses. So it's like I think we did a show yesterday on that.
Exactly. You are right. That's
so is it
so
difficult?
Good.
No. I think it's easier. I think it's cheaper. And I think you can make more money. But you need to know the basics first.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jill says, it's easier to fly a 747, but you don't learn on one.
Right.
You learn on a little Cessna or whatever.
Hey, thank you. That's a beautiful little, that's a great way to explain this. Thank you, Jack.
You're welcome. Today's topic.
What a weirdo.
What a weirdo, she says.
Exactly.
What a weirdo. You know, that's the reaction that all men love that from women. Hey, I think you look really pretty today. What a weirdo.
Oh my gosh. That's good.
Today's topic, Jill's negotiation approach. This is the meat of the show.
Where do I start?
What a weirdo.
Yes, thank you. You can call me a weirdo.
I am, all the way through the whole show.
Under your breath, I know. I'm sorry, was that my outside voice?
There's no under your breath in this show.
I don't know how to do that. That's a fact. I don't know how to whisper. My mom has said that. I don't know how to whisper, and I don't know how to keep a secret. I'm suck at secrets. Don't tell me
your
a secret.
Your mom told you this?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
That's hilarious,
yeah.
Joe.
She really said, you do not know how to whisper. And you did that to me today, didn't you, Jack, in the kitchen? You're like, you're kind of yelling, and I'm right here. So, yeah, okay.
Jill, share it with us.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Here's what happens in real life with us.
Oh, no, no, no.
Here's what happens with Jill and I in real life. I send a bunch of mail out. A bunch of people answer our phones on our staff. But ultimately, a lot of stuff goes on in between. And then I stare at a database. And there's a bunch of acquisition candidates in there where the people who have answered their phones or people who work for us qualified the deals. And they say, you know what? This person, they do want to sell their house. Here's how much they want to sell it for. And it looks like we can close a deal. Looks like the person's not dead and all that other stuff. So what do? I say, yes, I love this deal for the price that it is. Let's buy it. Next one. I love this deal, but it's too expensive. We need to shave $20,000 off. And I pick up the phone and I call Jill. And that's what this episode's about. Mm-hmm. What's your approach?
I love these ones.
I know you do. I know you love
this. It's a challenge for me.
Because I hate
it. You'll come in and I try to go under what you say. All right, here's the deal. We love this asset, but we want it for this price, not that price. I'm like, okay, game on. So now I'm going to try to get it for less. So, well, first I'm going to really understand the property in the area because I want to really want the other person to know I know what I'm talking about. So, and I'm going to come at them with all of the good things and the flaws and all of the reasons why I deem it appropriate at this lower price. Now, right off the bat, obviously, they're not going to like it. Let's just be honest, because we all know they want to sell it for, you know, their asking price, but that's not the price that we're willing to pay. So one of the things I do is I listen.
Let's say it's 5 acres in Indiana, by the way. Mm-hmm. Right on the road. But the terrain of the property is kind of like only 2 acres are usable, you know. Mm-hmm. And the other portion of it is, it's just unusable. Maybe it's drainage or uneven.
Mm-hmm. That's the kind of stuff that I would point out to them. I would really talk about, have you been out there? Have you seen it? Let me show you some pictures. Here's why it's only worth, I see it's worth X. And it's, so it's not so much about that, where you're going with it. It's not so much about the facts. It's more about the relationship. So let me, I want to follow up with that. So now I get the facts out. Now I got to get them to sign off on it. That's the whole thing. So I'm going to listen to them and their speech, and I'm going to keep, you know, I'm going to stand firm with why I think it's priced at the price I've come up with. And I want to get them to the point where they understand it and they start to feel good about that transaction. And they can. You can get them to that point. Sometimes what I'll do is I'll throw them a bone to get what I want. For example,
this is good stuff.
Thank you. Sometimes I'll say, okay, tell you what, here's what we're going to do then. I'll pay for all the recording, all the closing costs, this, 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 and this at this price. Okay, now right there, they're going, oh, okay. You know, that makes them really think about it. The other thing that I do is I set an amount. I sometimes don't come at them with my end, I often don't come at them with my end number. So I'm gonna start at one number. You know, it's like, come on, it's like buying, it's like you're negotiating. We all know how it's gonna go. When you put a car for sale on Craigslist, we all know that's not the sale and the price. You know there's gonna be some negotiation. So when I come at them, I do have some wiggle room, but I will tell you this, I have a limit and I set an amount and I don't move from that limit. And so that's one of the things you have to do. You have to know when to cut it off and you have to know when to walk away. And what you have to do is you have to see it as this. You don't see it as risking losing the deal, but you see it as a means of not overpaying. Or what if you're selling? What if this is you on the shoes on the other foot? You don't want to sell too cheap. So there's times you have to set a limit, say what you need to say, throw a bone if you can, but know when to walk away. And then do walk away. And I'll tell you so many times. And I guess one other thing that's underlying here is be transparent about everything too. I mean, there's times that I'll say, look, this is not my first transaction in this county too. This is really what I usually pay. And this is, you know, you can go look at the numbers too and see what people are doing. It's not like it's a big secret. And look at yours over here and this is why. And hey, this is what I do. This is my business. And I'm not the end user, you know, but I'm sure a guy that could sure pay cash and get it taken care of right now real fast for you. That's the deal, you know. And so when you're transparent, you will explain who you are, what you do, and all that good stuff, and, you know, and be ready to walk away, you'd be surprised how many times go, okay, wait a minute, you know, and they'll say, all right, I'll take it. Or they might hang up the phone. Don't be afraid of this, too. Let them hang up the phone. Let them sleep on it. That needs to happen. And then they're going to wake up the next day. They might be even might be furious and think you're an idiot. Seriously, hang up the phone and then call you. You know, and I have one right now. It's so funny because my staff just told me about it the other day. One I forgot about. I said, "Oh, is that the ex deal?" They go, "Yeah, that guy." And I'm like, "Oh, that's hilarious," because it was one that we talked a couple times, and I really, really, really walked away, and he called back. And he's now he wants to do the deal at my price. And it was like, I want to say 2 months ago, seriously. And I can't believe I even remembered the guy.
Sure.
You know, but it was one of those that I kept going, this guy's nuts. Okay, whatever. And then here, because his price and my price were so different. And now my price makes sense. So.
Yeah, it's not so much. I mean, what clinches it for me that I know this is in your soul is because very often, I don't even know if you know this, but often you'll come back to me. This is all in the database. You'll come back to me and say, they won't take 20,000 off, but they'll take 10 off. And here's why. And then you sell me on it, just like you just described it.
Well,
this person's really old and they really this and that, you know.
You know what I have done?
But the difference is that I'm buying it to resell it. So if I can't get it for 20 off, I can only get it for 10. That's 10,000 bucks out of my pocket.
Right. So I don't do that really anymore.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you know what? I'll be honest. I mean, back when I was first learning this and it was like $800 versus $1,000 and that was going to make the deal. All right. I'd throw in the extra 200 bucks if that's going to make the deal close. That wasn't a big deal because I'm selling it for three. So, you know, but the bigger numbers, I'm not doing that. It's too easy to walk away and send out more mail.
It really is.
So that's the reality. I don't have to do that, Jack. I really don't.
The clincher for me, and I have not had to negotiate in quite some time because Jill does it, is, and what really just brings them home is I say something like this. The next guy that's after me is not going to be this nice, and he's not going to answer his phone. In fact, he's probably not even going to call you back even once. So you can choose to deal with a guy like me and probably maybe make a little bit less money. Maybe make a little less under market, but I'm going to pick up the phone. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. And when I say I'm going to close it on Thursday, we're going to actually close it. So if that's worth 20 grand to you versus just, and then you're done with it, mm-hmm. then you really should close this deal. Otherwise, the next time I talk to you, it's not going to be this price.
Yeah, you have a very different tactic than I have.
And that works a lot. Or it worked, I should say.
Is that the Detroit way?
I don't know. I think it's a gender thing.
Oh, okay.
More than anything. I don't know. Just like you nailed it at the end. I mean, I'm going to read down. I'm going to pick up the phone right after this and call somebody else. So it's up to you.
Exactly.
If I'm talking to a guy, that'll push him right over the edge. If I'm talking to a woman, she's going to say,
have a nice day.
Have a good life.
That's really funny. I love it.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted almost 20 minutes listening to the Jack and Jill Show. Join us tomorrow where we discuss what to learn from HGTV, and then you should just turn it off.
And we answer your question, should you have one, post it on the Jack Jill online community, jackjill.com online community. Go find it. It's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
That was
good stuff,
fun.
Jill.
Thank you.
I mean, that is, you know, something so like normal to you and second nature, I think. That stuff is so not normal for me. It's so not second nature. So to hear you talk about it and explain it is really valuable.
Thank you.
I think that a lot of people are like that. Like,
everybody
talking about data
something.
To me, I just think everybody knows about it, but they don't.
Every single person walking around on this planet has something that it comes natural to them. And so many people don't realize.
Isn't that true?
That it's not that they are walking around with that that's gold that's so easy for them.
That's
and they
so
take it
true.
For granted.
I know, I agree. They
you
don't
know?
Like really capitalize on it.
Yeah. You know, and that's one of the things that I'm working on with books and things on the side is kind of like bringing that to light in everyone, just saying, you need to take this and run. And by the way, if it comes easy for you, that's kind of a sign that you should be doing that and more of it.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Name the three kids that we have. What are their things that they have that comes natural to them that they're not capitalizing on? Number one, go.
Confidence.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Leadership. That's that's what I think. Same
okay,
thing.
Okay, good. Yep.
Number two.
Oh, he's just getting it. He's got the personality, like
charisma.
with the people.
I agree.
He's
number
just
three.
Not figuring that out. Number three, smart
intuitive.
Brains.
Yep.
Yeah.
Linear logic.
You know what? We just had a conversation. That's so funny you say that. Number three and I were talking. She goes, you know, it used to not be that way, but now it's cool. Being smart is cool.
Yeah, geeky.
Used to be
being
smart.
Cool.
Being geeky was like, oh boy, it's the smart. That's the chess club.
Yep.
And now it's like, it's cool. I'm like, I'm really glad.
Bill Gates was a geek. Steve Jobs is a geek.
But
Elon Musk is a geek.
But
But you know what I mean? You know, they run the world. Mm-hmm. I agree. It's cool.
But it used to be like they weren't the cool kids. Like, right. Oh, they're those guys. So, right. Yep. Hey, share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you're listening. And while you're at it, rate us there. We are Jack and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.